Have you ever wondered what it's like to be a real-life medium? Then this is the podcast for you. In this show, you'll learn how to open your heart to spirit, hear adventures I've experienced as an award-winning psychic medium and teacher. Plus, I'm going to give you some psychic information and insight into what the future holds for our increasingly crazy world. Tune in every Friday and get ready to connect to the other side. I'm Jen, and I'll be your guide starting right now.
All right, welcome to this episode of the Singing Medium Podcast. I'm your host, Jen Abra, and today we have a special guest. Her name is Edit B. Kiss, which is a very cool name, and I'm really excited to speak with her on the podcast. She's patiently waiting for me to stop talking so much, and it's going to be a wonderful conversation. This is just how I do this on the Singing Medium Podcast. I love to have sort of an organic, natural, there's no script. We just have a conversation, what spirit wants, you know, the high intelligence and learning about new people. I love meeting new people, and it's very nice to meet you, Edit.
Hi, Jen. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, you have a beautiful background. When she came on the camera, I'm in a closet with my hair all messy and there's clothes hanging everywhere. So we're only going to show Edit if we're sharing this video on social media. And there we go. Now it looks even better because it's just her and her beautiful background. Welcome to the podcast. I'm very happy to have you here today. I'm excited to learn all about you, and I'm excited to have you share your gifts. I do follow you on Instagram, and I've been noticing you have, the first thing that I noticed about you is that you have a coaching program or some kind of 5-day challenge. Do you want to speak on that so people know what you're doing there? Because it looks very cool. I love all your pictures. You know, you seem very confident, and you seem like you really, really want to help people sort of grow into their true authentic selves and kind of whisk away some of their beliefs that they have stuck within their bodies and in their energy. So if you want to share, what do you do, Edit? Tell everyone what you do.
Yeah, so I'm a holistic trauma therapist and a success habit coach. I realized that how we operate on a daily basis is really coming back to our buried traumas, because as a result, we are like on an emotional roller coaster. And then due to that, we can't focus on what is the important in life. You know, we can mess up relationship, we can mess up work, our health, just due to that. So that's what I'm really focusing on, helping people to release traumas, even if they don't know they have trauma, because sometimes they just feel something is off. Sometimes they just feel like I got triggered all the time, why I'm feeling angry, why I am this and this, is because of buried traumas, which might was just an innocent memory, but it's acting as a trauma.
Yes. Yeah, I love that. I feel like I have so much trauma coming up right now just listening to you talk. Yeah, and I believe that people respond or react to things from triggers from other people, and I always see everyone as like a 5-year-old child, right? We're these grown-ups, but we have these 5-year-old little us inside of our bodies that are the ones that react to the triggers. But I have this in my experience, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, in my experience though, the triggers are here to help us learn our lessons that we've signed up for on the earth school. And everyone that you meet, well, not everyone, but a lot of people that we meet are here to help us heal those traumas and heal those reactions, and so that we can sort of become more of that unconditional loving self that we truly are on the inside. But we've got all this, I guess, dirty laundry on top of that, right? And it sounds to me like what you might do, because I was a kindergarten teacher, so I'm going to explain it in a kindergarten way, is that we're taking off some of the dirty laundry little by little so that you can be cleaner, and the traumas are the dirty laundry, and we want to pick them off. So how do you do that? How do you pick off the dirty laundry? How do you help someone heal their trauma? Because I'm noticing when I do coaching or mentorship sessions, that there's a lot of trauma that comes up. Like trauma just comes up, even if they're working on their gifts, they're like, their trauma starts coming up. And I'm like, so I'm not trained as a trauma-informed professional. I work with energy, so it sounds like you would have that training of how to help people deal with their trauma. Do you want to speak on that?
So originally I'm a Reiki master.
Okay.
And I started in my 20s with that because I had panic attacks and other like returning patterns of infections and stuff. So some I was dealing with some issues. So I did first Reiki as introduction because I didn't want it to go for medication, you know, or take anything. So I turned to Reiki and then I felt like it's helping managing my situation, you know. And then I went into till the master level. But then after that, I accidentally, you know, there is no accident, but accidentally I was introduced to a karma yoga healing, which was like a huge shift in my life. And then that was where I learned about source memory healing, which is the trauma release part, and also about mindfulness, like how karma, our actions are actually is determining our life. And then by releasing the traumas, how can we actually even more mindful? So that's how it works together, comes together like all our layers. And then you were saying that it's like a lesson to release those things. And then yes, it's people are just most of the people just getting into the awareness that yes, I have triggers and it's hitting me and it's hitting me again and again. But are they gonna come until you don't I until you are unable to release? You need to let go and forgive to actually able to stop the triggers. And what happens is if you are not, you can't stop the triggers, then you're gonna get sick, physically sick. So all the like physical illnesses and diseases is a result of all the emotional baggage. So that's what people need to understand, that some people getting to the point that they numb themselves or they become like cold-hearted, like okay, I don't want to be under an emotional roller coaster. I want to protect myself. I want to distance and I want to put boundaries. But as a result, they numb themselves and then they close their heart, and then and they think like that's a protection. They think they become resilient, but then the physical illness starts to appear. You know what kind of conditions, and that's the second label, the second stage of like, ho-ho, there is still something you need to heal and release because now we are hitting you even harder. So that's it works.
I love those two points that you made. Is, you know, it's forgiveness is a big piece. We forget about that sometimes. You know, we're like, I'm going to try to heal something, but usually the pain or the trauma sometimes is caused by another person sometimes. And so we don't think that, well, maybe I need to forgive the other person, or we're not think that we're not able to forgive that person. Because some people, I feel like in my experience, think that, well, that means I'm condoning their behavior or what they quote unquote did to me, right? But if they can't see the other layer behind it, that this person was here to help you heal this thing. Like, I just had this. This is so cool that we're talking now, because the other day, I was sitting with some plant medicine. Spirit was calling me to do that, and it took about maybe 2 hours of laying in my bed with meditation. I meditated for 2 hours. I might have been longer than that. But I could actually see the person who had hurt me in the past greatly, and caused trauma inside my body. And I saw them, their reason for them being in my life on a spiritual level. It was the most beautiful thing, because we're humans and we're like, well, that person did something to me. But there's also a way bigger, more divine reason why this person came into your life to activate it. And what I was shown was so beautiful. And we have to also be mindful that there's maybe not two sides to every story, but there's layers, like you said, to, you know, why this person came into your life, and to be able to have that awareness. And like you said, some people don't have the awareness to understand fully why this happened in our life. But for me, having a spiritual experience and being able to get out of my body, being mindful and getting out of there and being able to see this, it was beautiful instead of horrible. I was like, oh my God, that was so beautiful that that person did that. And then we had these interactions that caused me so much trauma. But in the beautiful teachings that I experienced that day, I was like, oh, I can forgive now. I understand why they came there and why they did this. But obviously, some people can't just sit with plant medicine all day long, and they don't have the, you know, they maybe not, it's not as dangerous for them. But for me, it was like, I didn't know I was going to be able to forgive that person, to heal the whole thing that happened, and I could let it go, right? So it's hard for some people. So what it sounds like is you have also an energetic spiritual way, instead of maybe sitting with plant medicine, that would also help to do a similar, have a similar experience of being able to let them go and see why this happened to the person. And did I hear you correctly? A somatic technique?
No, it's a source memory healing. It's
Source
source.
memory healing. Okay, and can
Yeah,
you explain that?
Yeah, so I use transcendental meditation, samadhi meditation to get into delta brainwaves,
Okay.
and then we connect from there with the unconscious
Yes.
mind. And the
Yes.
unconscious mind is bringing up the memories which needs to release.
Yes.
And then I actually have a certain steps I need to do with the client to get to
Yes.
the point till forgiveness. So, but I still, as you said, there are
Yeah.
still clients, even after the release process, they
Yes.
struggle to forgive. And then I need to explain them, as you said, that 5% of the time, only 5% of the time we operate from conscious mind. The
Right.
rest is subconscious, superconscious,
Yep.
whatever is behind. And then when we are pointing fingers to a person that he did it to me, is just 5% of the time they are conscious. So the what happened to you is most likely was done by the other 95%, which
Yes.
was not controlled by the person.
Oh, yeah.
After I explained them this, that it can be karma, ancestral karma, you know, also whatever it was the reason, or you know, the person can have a society beliefs or something, you know, which was interacted, then they are more like, oh yeah, no, I understand. No, I think that I can forgive because no, I know it wasn't actually the person. And especially if it's like a within family members, you know, sometimes there is like an abuse by the father, and they are like so devastated that they are like, how can I forgive my father who abused me, you know?
Yes.
And then when they find out that actually it wasn't their father exactly, you know what happened to them, and they're looking at it with a different perspective and they can forgive and let it go. You explained it very well, yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say, do you have do you feel for people who are listening and they, maybe are curious about this, do you feel like the only way to maybe heal something or forgive somebody is to have a spiritual experience? Because if I think about it, people who do therapy, talk therapy. I was listening to a podcast and I can't remember what it was called, but they were talking about how your heart holds memory. Your heart holds that energetic resonance, that memory of what happened to you. So it's a little bit of your brain also retains about mostly that heart resonance. And so if you're only talking, blah, 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 this person did this to me, this is because of my dad, and talking for like years and years and years and years and 10 years of therapy, but they're missing the heart part where that memory is, like you said, the subconscious, it's in your heart, it's in your memory body, like it's in your body. Talking all the time isn't going to be able to let that go, right? So do you feel like there has to be another higher conscious or like a different way of doing things to heal this?
Yeah, I had many clients who were coming after 10 years of speaking therapy, and
Yeah,
they did
yes.
not help them at all. And then after
Yeah.
doing with me the sessions, they were like, now I can release. Now I feel happy. Now I am content, you know.
Yes.
So yeah, absolutely. It needs to go deeper. It needs to go
Yes.
into, you know, the emotional body. It needs to be released from the emotional body,
Yes.
from the unconscious mind, basically. And then on a proper, a profound way, like replace it with, you know, like release the negative and replace it with positive emotions at the same time. That's
Right.
why I guide them through this process, you know. But
Right.
obviously, some people can have some shocking experience or some, you know, some spiritual experience or shocking experience which helped them with this release, like getting, you know, unconsciously into a situation, like into a meditation or in a dream when maybe their angels or their spirit guides support them through this, you know. So it can happen, obviously, especially if some people doing fasting, you know, some people do like a couple of days of water fasting, then they get
Okay.
more like experiences, and then they can actually have a different perspective because the perspective is really important, you know, like what kept them in the negative emotions. That was an old perspective, but if they can actually look at the things with a positive perspective, a different way, then it's much easier to let go and forgive and then basically act on a completely different way. Because what is determining our future is how we think and how we feel and how we act. And then if we are always getting like negative thoughts, worries, fears, and we always like having emotions like around betrayal and sorrow and sadness, then basically that's gonna determine our action. That's gonna determine like our decisions, and then we
Yes.
move forward with a different decision, so we step into a different reality. But when we are able to see it from a different perspective, and then we forgive, then we are coming from a different space. We make different decisions, so we create a different life. So basically, we can always say that when we rewrite the past, we basically, when we go into the source memory healing, we rewrite the past, and then we create a brand new future by that.
Okay. Well, I just want to preface, I'm not saying therapy is not good and don't do therapy. Don't not do therapy, but I'm saying sometimes people don't know, and I just learned this on that podcast where it was like your heart holds memory and so you have to release it, I feel like people get stuck sometimes because they're holding on to their emotions. Like in my experience, if I hold on to my emotion too much and I don't want to release or forgive someone, and then I get stuck in my life. Right? I feel like I'm stuck in my life, I feel. But once I go through the process like I did last week, I feel like now my life is not as stuck and I'm able to move forward and into a different attitude, I guess, or a different energy, because now I understand it. I understand it better. So what you do helps people understand it as well too. Is that correct? Like they understand maybe this whole experience in a different way. Is that correct? Yes, I'm understanding that.
Yes, they so it has to be two ways, like we're clearing it actually from the Akashic records. So we actually do the
Oh,
spirit.
wait. Oh, I didn't know. Okay, so you do go into the Akashic records?
Now, I mean, if you go into the
Oh,
unconscious mind,
yes.
release these traumas, it's going to be rewritten in the Akashic records,
Oh,
basically,
okay.
as a process, because we communicate with the supreme pure consciousness, we release it from there. So basically, with the help, so it's gonna be rewritten in the Akashic records, and then they can actually see at the end of the session how their life changed, and they can see the projection of the new outcome. And so it's that deep, but they also have a different perspective after that, because sometimes, they come out of this healing and stay still next day, they wake up and they are like, is it really worked? Is my life really gonna be different? Because their monkey mind is still there, there is still doubting. It's still like, is it gonna be still okay? Like, am I good now? Because they were in the deep, like the rabbit hole for so long, like, sometimes 10 years, with the speaking therapy. So they were in the rabbit hole for so long that when it actually happens, the release, they are like, wow, have it really ha did it really happen? Like, no, I can be really in peace. So they have this question. So that's when it comes in actually the mindfulness. That's when it comes in the belief system, reprogramming the subconscious mind to believe in themselves, to actually see things positively. So I still work with them. I also do coaching and healing at the same time. So I coach them to be mindful, but healing them also during the process. So,
Okay, so does it, so what you do, would you say that can help change a belief?
yeah, so for the belief system is definitely affirmations. We work with affirmations. So they need to say certain sentences, empowering sentences, loving sentences about themselves, for themselves, to themselves, about their future, about their plans, because there is doubts there is worries and fears. But it's also I have a lot meditation library with full of very powerful meditations for karmic debt release, ancestral defect release. And if you start doing those transcendental meditations, it's helping you to become more positive, because it brings you to delta brainwave. So you start to produce of the necessary hormones, like an extra boost of them, like melatonin, serotonin, oxytocin, growth hormone. So it's gonna actually make you more resilient, more happy, more in a better mood, better focus, better sleep. So it's already the meditations going to transform you while you're doing the healing as well at the same time. So basically, it's going to be easier and easier than every day to think positive, to expect positive things, to assume that good things are happening to them instead of the negative. Even back then, before I was doing source memory healing, like when I was a Reiki healer, Reiki master, it was the same thing. Like we send them to healing, or we did the healing, but we had to tell them that if you start thinking negative tomorrow, you're ruining the whole healing. Because what happened? Because what's happening is their negative thoughts, as I said, is affecting their emotions. And the negative emotion is which actually blocking the chakras, so their energy centers. So that's why I don't recommend the therapy, because in therapy, you're stirring up the shit, you're bringing it awareness, you're feeling all of those emotions, negative emotions, but you're not releasing them. So if you're feeling those negative emotions, you're blocking your chakras, and it's affecting your glands production, because they are completely aligned with your glands, the chakra centers. And it's also affecting your organs, the health of the organs, because the prana energy, the life energy is not flowing through you properly. So basically, the negative emotions are doing this to you, like blocking chakras as well. So with this meditation, what's happening is it's also balancing the chakras, this samadhi meditation, which I have in the library. And also, as you're getting more resilient and you're releasing things, like you become more positive, then basically you are not jeopardizing yourself so much, you know, you're not blocking the chakras. And so it's the same thing, like when I did the Reiki, I had to explain them that be positive, you know, think positive, shift your mindset, so on and so forth, be more faithful, you know, trust the process, trust the divine, trust people, and then you're not ruining back the healing. Basically, you
Okay.
can keep on going. So yeah, the trust, I realized that the trust is really what is get how can I say, what people lose the most, you know, the trust in others and trust in the divine. So when they got betrayed, when they feel a certain situation is coming up, that's what they lose first, the trust. And then when you lose trust, basically you don't reach out for help, you're not opening for relationships or business, nothing. So you kind of like blocking yourself from all the blessings when you start not trusting others, you know, because of those experiences. And then the other thing is you stop trusting the divine, then you're not channeling enough intuitive messages, you're not having the you know, you're not seeing your purpose, or you start keeping like you still like worry and have fear of the future because of these trust issues. So that's really important to understand that whatever you go through, you still need to trust, because you can still attract good people into your life.
Yeah, so let me just backtrack here a little bit so I understand, and so the listeners can understand as well too. So in your work, you would do transcendental meditation and help them release some of their trauma, and then after that would be affirmations to keep them more positive and to keep going in their life. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, because that's important to say, because normally when like I was taught to do affirmations as well too, and some of the spiritual people on social media, like, oh, let's do affirmations. And for me, they didn't work, but I was missing a part. I was missing of the, you know, what was my belief, and removing it or loosening it a little bit so that they might work. Because when you repeat something over and over and over and over, it's eventually going to get in there, right?
Yeah.
But in the past, I sort of say sometimes affirmations are like putting sprinkles on a pile of poop, because if you don't clear the poop out first, you're just putting sprinkles on it. The poop is still there, but there's just, now it looks pretty. Right? So the affirmations, you have to remove some of the things first, and then you can sprinkle your life, and then affirmations would work better because there's more room in the subconscious mind to accept these to be true. Because some people are like, I love myself. I love myself. Or I'm a millionaire. I'm a millionaire. And the universe is laughing because, no, you don't. Like, you don't believe that at all. So it sounds like your work is important to help people remember the truth about who they are and their beliefs, you know what I mean? And correct them.
Yes, absolutely. And then we also do the affirmation practices in samadhi states, like in delta waves. So it's more powerful. You can like more manifestation is also more powerful in that vibration, because you can bend reality. So it's much stronger. And then I have some meditations on my YouTube channel for free. So on my playlist, Magical Karma Priestess, so everybody can try them out.
Yeah, for sure. So how do you compare what your meditations are to hypnosis?
Well, these meditations, they activate your pineal gland. So what happens is you opening your third eye, so you become more intuitive. You start learning more from the divine. You actually start having more intuitive messages, like you become more like clairvoyant, you know. So basically you start receiving so more breadcrumbs from the universe. You're gonna see more your where you need to go or where you are heading, and then you're gonna be like more trusting the process. So it helps with that too. And then we activate the eighth chakra in the samadhi meditation. So during this meditation, and the eighth chakra is what connects you with your karmic past, your past life. So basically, when we do that, it's the chakra of the aura. So when we do that, then in source memory healing, we sometimes go back to past life traumas to release, not just this lifetime. And it's helping also with karmic debts release. I have meditations in the library for karmic debts release and ancestral karma release, and that's where the eighth chakra comes in.
Okay, so you have so you can help heal a past life too, 'cause I remember
Yeah.
one woman told me before that I had I signed a vow of poverty in a past life. And I was like, oh, that's great. But that also makes a lot of sense. When I was first starting my business, I'm like, okay, well, you struggle with money and things like that. So would this also help with prosperity belief, abundance beliefs, things like that as well too?
Yeah, especially the ancestral karma are very powerful because sometimes your ancestors are also did something, and then they actually sometimes put their karma on you,
Yes.
and that's also can be cleared. And then the ancestral karma is really bad because it can start from birth, for example, children, or I mean, someone born with disease,
Right.
or a child dies on an early age, that are like a sign of ancestral defect in the whole family line, lineage, and or it's an early death accident, something happening into someone's 20s or 30 years old. That's also a sign that there is an ancestral defect. So when you are able to heal that or release that, then basically you stop that in your with you in that lineage. It's very
Okay.
powerful because all of this healing, why I love them is because it's also affecting your whole soul family. So you're not just healing yourself. When you take on this responsibility to start this healing process, you're not just healing yourself, you're healing the soul family as well, and your family members. So as without them doing anything, basically, they're gonna start changing in the process.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So I understand karma, the word karma coming up, you're saying that word a lot into to me, I was taught that karma means past life memory. So sometimes karma is like, oh, well, you're going to have bad karma if you cut someone off or you do something bad to someone or you send bad energy to someone or the evil eye, and then you're going to get bad karma coming back to you. But what if we went deeper with that? Karma equals, because that pertains to the Akashic records, right? Because in your Akashic records, you have past life memory in there and your past lives are all written in there. So the word karma to me, just to sort of share how what I believe to be that is like past life memory. So it kind of sounds a little bit as also what you're kind of saying too is like, you can heal your past, the memories that you have from the past. And then because I believe that we've had many lives and that some of us will have more lives, our soul will keep going on, right? Obviously, because that's what I do all day long. So I've seen it and I can understand it because I live it. But an interesting story about the past life memory with the karma was and speaking of healing your past life. So a few years ago, people who have followed me for a long time know that I met up with a bunch of people karmically. It was like, when you meet someone, you're like, I have known you forever. Like, I feel so comfortable with you. But then I learned it was like a trauma bond. But anyways, so it's like, but you recognize souls from your past life. And what we realized over the journey was that I had met these people in a past life that had a very heavy karmic past life memory experience to it. And what I realized is I could place that in this life. So that past life that happened, they were the same people who came around in this life 5 years ago. And basically all the things that happened in that life were paralleling happening in this life that had already happened in the past life. And I had a memory of it, like a fate memory. I'm like, so it started with, I feel like I know you for so long. And then we figure out, oh my God, we had a past life together. Oh my God, you were this person in the past life. And pretty much everything that happened in that life happened in this lifetime. So I have experience of that, and to, I don't think I will say, maybe because you're such a good listener, I feel like I haven't healed that yet. I mean, I do a lot of healing, and sometimes you get tired of healing yourself, like I'm just tired of healing everything. But for this one feels like it's coming up as I'm sitting in your energy. This one has not been healed. So if I wanted to heal this because it's past life memory, which is karma, and this happened 5 years ago and it ended badly in that life, it ended badly in this life. So if I came to you and be like, okay, I need to heal this life now of what happened because it's happened in past life and it happened in this life, how to talk me through what would I do? You would help me get into a transcendental meditation state. And then what do you say to the person? So if I want to heal this, what would you have to do to do that?
There are many ways. Like I would do like all kinds of layers. So I would do the source memory healing on your current triggers with this
Yep.
situation.
Okay.
Then I would also do the ancestral healings and the karma. Karmic debt release is basically whatever karma you cause to each other. So it depends on what was the karma, because there's like 11 kinds of karma we
Oh.
actually separate. So what includes in that element, then I would pick the ones which is related to this, and then that's what would be released. And then also we can go to releasing the oaths, you know, or vows in this relationship. So there are many ways, many script for that. And so I would go through
Okay.
a couple of them basically when it happens with someone. I also, when I first time was actually activating pineal gland and getting to this delta brainwave, I started to have these breadcrumbs. I also started to attract people from past lives, and I was so happy. Yes, as you said, like, oh yeah, I know you. But and then I realized that these people coming to me to empower them, to show them their power, what they actually had in the past life, you know. So teach them, heal them, you know, all of these things. And then I need to release them after that, you know. So because I got sometimes attached and said, like, ah, that's so good, you are here. But then I realized that no, it's just for temporary until I show them the way and then I let them go, you know. So that's how it's the dynamics working. So that's how I understand. But yes, yeah, so about the karmic debts, there are specific. So the karma itself is actually means action. So and then what is you acting that how you act basically, there are things which has like negative effects, you know, and there are things which has positive effects. So there's a positive karma and negative karma. Karmic debts is the ones when you actually hurt someone or you were disrespectful or lying or whatever you were doing, and then that's creating the debt. And basically there are certain ways how you can actually create positive karmas in your life with certain actions. You know, just a simple action of kindness is already, you know, positive point in your point sheet, in your balance sheet. But you know, there are the certain ways. But basically when you become spiritual, the instant karma is happening. When people are not that spiritual, they don't actually have instant karma, which means you are doing something bad or good, whatever, in this lifetime, it comes back next life, you know. But if you are spiritual, you are very connected with other dimensions and stuff, then you actually have instant karma, which means if you do something good, also the blessings already coming within days or weeks. But if you do one of the karmic debts thing, then basically you also experience the negative karma very shortly in this lifetime. So when you are in the spiritual awakening, you are in the spiritual journey, then basically you need to be more careful, to be kind and a good person, you know, because you want to attract more good things,
That
right?
makes so, I'm just sitting here, my mind is like, what? That makes so much sense because I'm remembering when I had my spiritual awakening, and everyone's heard the story before. I won't go into it again, but that for when I had my spiritual awakening, that makes so much sense because all these like before, I feel like before that happened, my life was kind of boring and nothing really happened to me, or I didn't really experience much. And then I had that, and like everything changed. Like everything was almost like happening one after the other of karma. Here's your past life people. Here's this person in your life right now, and you're gonna do this XYZ. But it's like now I knew it was all sort of planned out. Like it had been all planned out before, you know? And it just, I'm like, oh, that makes so much sense. So if people have had a spiritual experience, think about your life before you woke up, quote unquote, and then after, and like you're saying with the karma, how quickly did it come about, right? That makes so much sense to me. So, I'm going to ask you, do you mind sharing about how did you first awaken spiritually? What was your moment? Do you have a moment? Because mine's on a dirty carpet, on the floor with kids running around, and you know, I hear this voice out of nowhere, oh, and I'm like, what is that? I'm just crying on the floor here. So, do you have a moment like that where you like, okay, this is when I woken up?
Yeah, it's interesting. So basically, I'm coming from a communist background, you know, from Hungary. So I wasn't in religion. So I never went to church, or I haven't had any religion as a child. And when I was in my teenage years, I started to read different books about religion, like all kinds of, you know, Buddhism, Taoism, you know. I was reading it, and mythology. I loved mythology and history. And then I was reading all of those books, and I was wondering, like, oh, which one I should pick, or should I pick any, you know? And then I was also drawn towards the Egyptian mythology, you know, Egyptian history, and that was really close to me. And then basically going through all of those things and learning about extraterrestrials,
Yes.
basically,
Yep.
that how they impacted us, you know, back in thousands of years ago. So it was very fascinating. So I already felt very close to that kind of mindset or thinking. And then I ended up in Mexico. And in Mexico, the people are very Christian, you know, like the Catholic. And then somehow I started to have dreams. And then one of the powerful dreams was that I was going on up on stairs to the heaven. And then into heaven, they gave me a Christ, you know, like from crystal. And also I went into the heaven, and then there were like a core, like people, like angels, or I don't know, in white clothes, you know, some human body in white clothes. But they were like reading a page in the Bible, and it was like a specific page. So when I woke up from the dream, I went to buy a Bible just to check out the page, you know. And then I actually bought a Christ with the crystal, like similar looking. And then I was like, wow, this is like a very powerful sign. I even was thinking to get baptized, you know. I even picked a date. I even picked a date. I'm baptized. But then what happened is I actually was got hired for a very big company. I was very excited, and they wanted me to fly to Paris on that day to sign my contract and start working. So basically, I was like, okay, then I'm not going to get baptized because I need to fly. So basically, I canceled that. It has never happened since. That was like more than 20 years ago. So basically, it was like kind of one of the spiritual awakening that dreams, those very powerful dreams. And then later was when I was in a family constellation therapy with my Reiki master. We were doing lots of constellation. I am not sure if you are aware of family constellation therapies, how it works. So in a family constellation therapy, basically there is a group of people, and there is one person who needs to solve some issue in their in his life. And then basically this group of people are helping to give their body to the source of the family of that person. So basically the source of the family coming into our body, and we feel everything what that soul is feeling or what's thinking, everything. So it's a really amazing experience, feeling someone else's emotions and actions and stuff. And then that was really like out of this world experience, you know. And then being in, and one of the soul who came into me was actually very powerful. I just felt I needed to sit down in like in a lotus pose, and then what I was seeing in front of my eyes was like a place which was like with a sunset orange color, with trees like from savanna, like you know, like the chopped trees from savanna. And I just felt that there is no air, there is like so peaceful everything. And then I felt I'm like in the nirvana or somewhere, you know. And then it was so powerful. And the other extra thing was that I felt like I completely know the answer for any question in the whole universe. And that so profound, like tapped into that energy. I was like, ask me anything, I know the answer. And then, yeah, it was very, very deep. And then I was sitting there and I was like, I don't want to come out of this. It's so beautiful, it's so peaceful, and it's just so powerful. That was like a very, very big feeling, stepping into that energy. And then obviously, yeah, I had to get out of it and then heal the situation with the other source and stuff like that. But it's very powerful experience that as well. And yeah, I also had like, you know, there is always a next level. There is always a next level to towards enlightenment. And then it was like other situations, like for example, there was a harder situation in my life when I had to just surrender. You know, that was the first time I was like saying like, okay, I give up, I surrender to the universe, you know. And then when I was surrendering completely, that's when I started to feel with the same time unconditional love, like unconditional love towards everyone, like all the people, you know, around me who I don't even know, you know, like walking on the street, and then you just love everybody. So with that surrendering, this came as well. It was also a very powerful experience.
Yeah, surrendering is hard for some people. Like, I didn't realize if you surrender enough that you would feel unconditional love. Like, I think I've like the true unconditional love from like the divine source, unconditional love, that kind of source. I felt that one time in my life, and I'll never forget. I was just driving in my car. And like the song was on the radio and my sunroof was open and the sun was beaming down like right in my face. And it was like for like 10 seconds, I was like, oh, I just wanted to hold on to it. You know, you wanted to grab it and then you're like, it goes away. You're like, no, come back. It was so, I know exactly what you're feeling too. And then, you know, then you have to go to the grocery store. Like, it's just so ridiculous to plan our life around. But just what you're talking about, this soul entering your body, that literally just happened to me this morning. So I do, sometimes I do readings, and it was her relative, her actually, I think it was her father. And I literally could feel his soul go into me from behind. Like, you kind of, and I was like, whoa. And I could see through his eyes. It was so beautiful. Like, I knew that I was okay. And I, you know, and I could see on the table beside me, I was in a hospital bed, and I could see beside me there was some teeth on the table. And I was like, huh, my teeth are on the table. I don't have any teeth. And I could feel what it felt like to have no teeth. And she's like, yeah, he had false teeth. And I'm like, okay, that's freaky because I can see my teeth over here. But it was so beautiful, right? And then he had this beautiful memory through my eyes. Like, it's almost like a movie was in my brain of his favorite memory. And he showed me him sitting in a chair, and his daughter, who's now like, I don't know if she's 60 or 70 years old, was a little girl. And his favorite memory was watching her watch TV. Like, they would do this every night in the dark and watch TV. And I could see her. I was him. I was like, this is my perfect heaven right here, you know? So it's, I wish that everyone at least once in their life has an experience like we're talking about, because there's a feeling with it, right? Like you just described, there's a feeling with it. Like, I am okay, and I am unconditional love, and I know things. And it's just a really beautiful thing. So in two different ways of doing it, you know, it would be so amazing if everyone could have this experience, because I feel like then people would love more, or they'd be able to forgive people more. Right? Or they, you know, they've healed, because you're like, okay, well, my dad drank a lot of alcohol, but you know, I could give her that peace of like, well, I'm okay, and I regret doing this XYZ thing, and just giving, you know, it's just a beautiful thing, this work, whether it's through mediumship or soul connection, or you know, your beautiful healings too. It's just different ways that we're giving these beautiful gifts to help people heal on this planet and understand, you know, understand things on a deeper level. So I think what you're doing is beautiful.
Thank you.
Is there anything else you would like to share with our audience about yourself, or you know, who is this for? Who would this be for? So, like with every work, it's not for everyone, maybe, right? We don't want everyone to come and be like, "Hey, Edit, I want a session right now," because you want to have the people who are aligned with what you're doing, right? Because there's some people who would be like, "What are you talking about? This is so weird. I don't understand this," right? So, who would this? Who's your ideal client? Who's your ideal client who would come to you?
Usually they are one who gave up on any other modalities already, who tried and then was like, okay, nothing worked for me, but I still in pain, I still have PTSD, I still want the solution, I still want to serve, be happy again, you know? So that's one kind of people who's like really feel like urgency, like, oh, I tried so many things, but I still remember, like, I'm in my 40s or 30s, but I still remember the abuse which I experienced when I was 5 or 6 years old, and it's still there, you know. So basically PTSD survivors are ones who's coming to me for like a final, you know, relief, final stage. And also I help people who's like light workers already, or in the energy, how can I say, energy work, star seeds or Reiki masters, who's already have some clients as well, but also working maybe on themselves, on their healing journey. And basically I also teach facilitators. So I have a program for facilitators to learn this, and it's like a three-level program. So there is level one, level two, level three. They can even become a teacher, so they can even teach the level one, level two. And this actually starts in May, so next week, the level one program. And you can imagine that 80, 90% of my clients actually go after spending with me, like in an incubator, like 30 days or the 8 weeks program, after spending with me, like the healing sessions, they decide to do the facilitator training, because they actually so much convinced that this thing works, help them so much, and they already have the compassion to help others, you know. And I was like, I want to heal myself, I want to heal my family. Or they already, as I said, Reiki master, so they want to, you know, show it to their clients. So then they do the facilitator training. So it's like 80, 90% of people. Sometimes it takes them a year, you know, till they like, okay, I'm coming back to do it. But sometimes they jump in it, you know, after the healing. So yeah, it's both is possible, you know, the healing, And also the, and I have like one-on-one sessions, and I have also group coaching. So if someone wants to have like a like-minded community, you know, where everybody is talking about the same thing, understand your struggles, understand your mindset, then it's also I have those group coachings. I have the people around you who can understand you, and you're not afraid to ask, you know, or share your daily struggles or asking questions about it.
Yeah, it's important to have a safe community where you feel like you're coming home, like you know these people and they you trust them and you feel safe to share things. Now to be honest, when I have guests on, I don't do a lot of research. I do follow you on social media. And what's your Instagram again? Edit
Is my
Bikis?
name Edit B
I
Kiss?
Bikis, I thought so.
Yeah.
Yes. Edit Bikis. And so I have a question for you, and I don't know if this is psychic information or something that I haven't discovered yet about you. Now, have you written a book?
Yes, the
Aha, you have written a book. I'm like, I feel like there's a book here. There you go.
yes, On the Healer's Journey
Beautiful.
is coaching book for seekers. So if someone going through awakening, spiritual awakening, it's the best book for them. And it's not too long, so you can read it in a day or
Yeah,
two.
sounds like my
But
book, yeah.
yeah, but the thing is that there is also beautiful mandalas with every chapter, so you can actually follow those
That's beautiful.
and contemplate what you just read while you are
I
coloring.
love that so much.
Yeah, and some people actually like who bought this, they have a pen and they are like underline the things what they need to remember, because they said like, oh, I read it like twice and then I had to underline it. And some of them say this is like very powerful, is like a punch, because I don't really like to talk like too much about things. Like I like to be focused. I like to go get onto the point. You know what I'm saying? So it's like don't there is not too much like fluff in this book. It's like really focusing on getting you to the next level. It's really focusing on empowering you and helping you, and yeah, there is some stories of course about me, but just to relate it to
Of
whatever is
course.
happening. But it's not much fluff there. It's more like focused coaching.
Okay. Kind of like maybe your personality, like your energy is very like,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Not much fluff. I'm more fluffy, I think, than you. I would say I'm more fluffy. It's funny because I keep sitting here. I'm like, she's supposed to write a book. I feel this energy of this book, and I didn't realize when I was following you that you actually have a book already. So that's very cool. We have a lot of
Yeah.
parallels, you and I. So I'm both a Reiki master as well too, and I have a book, and you can read
Awesome.
it, and you can read it in one day, just like yours. But mine's more fluffy. But yours is not fluffy. I love that. It's not fluffy. I like that. Straight to the point. Just like, here's the information. This is what you need to do. Just cut to the chase. I love that about you. So, where can someone reach out to you if they want to have a healing session from you?
So the best option is my website. They can
Okay.
book a call there, or they can look at my workshops or my other options there. So basically, it's the easiest way to book a call from my website.
And is your website the same as your name?
Yes, editbikis.com. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's EDITB. KISS.
Yes.
Perfect. Just so they know. And I will put those in the show notes. You guys can go and click on Edit's website and see her Instagram. I'll put those in there as well so you can connect with her. But I want to say thank you so much, Edit, for being a guest on the Singing Medium podcast. And I thank you so much for your patience when it's all lined up. What a wonderful guest you are. I like that you're very to the point, and some people will really resonate with that and with your activated healing sessions as well. And they can forgive people and be like, I understand now. Then in turn, love themselves more.
Yes, absolutely. Thank
Yeah.
you.
Thank
It
you
was
so
nice to
much. I
talk.
really appreciate you being on. You guys can find Edit. I'm going to put all of her links to social media and her website, and you can go and book with her if that feels aligned to you, or take some classes with her, do some workshops, and find your people there. So thank you so much, Edit. And it's great having you on the podcast. And I hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and we'll see you all next time on the Singing Medium podcast. Thank you so much, Edit.
Thank you. Bye-bye.